Hello, and thank you for joining us to the Kabbalah Experience. Today we'll have a lecture by Rav Lightman on a special article by Bala Sonam. It's called Messiah's Shofar, Messiah's Horn. It's in the book Kabbalah for the Student on page 153. Messiah's Shofar, or Horn. Truth is that maybe 15 minutes ago, we chose what we're going to teach today, because yesterday I read that there was a lot of hoo-ha about the three signs that are now accumulating and are coming together on the eve of Passover. You don't know about it, huh? Okay, so we're living on Earth. You do know that, right? Okay. Well, it's revolving around the sun, right? When it completes one circle, we call it a year. Additionally, we have one round with the moon, which is a month for us, right? We started counting years since man's creation. What does it mean, man's creation? It's when the first time a person in this world attained the Creator, and by that became Adam, from the word dome, similar to the Creator. All those who don't attain the Creator are not called Adam, human. As it says, they're all like hay-eating beasts because we're at the animate level, and those who attain the Creator reach His degree, come to know Him and discover Him, are called man, human. Hence the word Adam, human, from the word dome, similar, because you attain the Creator by qualities. When people in this world can attain the qualities of the Creator and then become like Him. So the first to reach that level was called Adam. And that's why we start counting our calendar from him. And the day when he attained the Creator, we call it the beginning of the year, of the first year that happened 5,769 years ago. Ever since then, we've been counting years, since the first revelation of the Creator by a creature. And we count the months from Moses, as it says in the Torah. This month is to you the head of the months. This is about Passover, the month of Passover. And there's a circle in that. Once every 28 years, there's a circle where the month and the year meet. And then we have the blessing of the sun. There's a special ritual. The first time that on a day when Adam discovered the Creator, the special thing about it was that Passover and the beginning of the month and the beginning of the year, all of them came together. The year of the sun, the year of the moon, the lunar year came together. And the second time happened when Israel came out of Egypt. And the third time these three parameters got together was this year. On the eve of Passover, so everyone's thinking, that's it, the Messiah is coming. That's it. It has to be something special, because it is, you know, it's a very moving sign. The first time happened 5,769 years ago, in the first revelation of the Creator. The second time was in the Exodus from Egypt, which is also when our people reveal the Creator. And the third time, maybe the whole world. In short, it's a very moving thing. And, well, I knew about it, but all of a sudden, all kinds of, I started reading in the media about it, people started talking about it, and they started offering interpretations. I wasn't really, I don't believe in calendars or in any of that stuff, but it's nice. It adds flavor. But of course, we believe that it has to happen along with our awakening, as it happened to Adam, and as it happened to the children of Israel in Egypt, that we can only achieve the coming of the Messiah through labor, meaning that force that will pull us out of our egos, out of this world, to the recognition of the whole of reality, the spiritual world. But just to point out the special date, we chose this article, Messiah's Shofar. Okay? So let's read it, and if you want to ask, there are little bits here, and everyone can ask after each section. So and we'll read, and we'll go with him. Okay, so we're on page 153 in the Book of Allah for the Student. Messiah's Shofar by Bala Sulam. Redemption only through Kabbalah. Know that this is what it means that the children of Israel are redeemed only after the wisdom of the hidden is revealed to a great extent, as it is written in the Zohar. With this composition, the children of Israel are redeemed from exile. In other words, the revelation of the Creator depends on us. By studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, we pull over ourselves a special force, as Bala Sulam writes. Where? At the end of the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, item 155. End of the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, item 155. Why should we read the books of Kabbalah? Therefore, we should ask. It's in gray. Introduction to the study of Kabbalah, item 155. Therefore, we should ask, why did Kabbalists obligate every person to study Kabbalah? Indeed, there is a sublime thing in it, where they've been publicized, because there's a great power to those who study Kabbalah. Even though they don't understand what they are learning, by their strong desire to understand what they are learning, they evoke on themselves the lights that surround their souls. And he continues to explain that even though we don't understand, as he says, we just want to understand, what has that got to do with me, with my life, and with my progress? What's the meaning of life? How do I know about it? How do I study what happens to me? So, by opening books of Kabbalah that talk about the forces that affect me, that arrange my life, these forces then shine on me when I study and promote me. It's actually very similar to our lives. A child who studies and wants to know, the material gradually affects him, and it doesn't necessarily just fill stuff his brain. It affects him, it raises him, it opens up his sensations, his tools of perception. It's the same with the wisdom of Kabbalah. That's why it says that if we want to exit the framework of this narrow world and feel the whole of reality, which is much more, much broader than the current state where we feel a very narrow and temporary thing that's passing. So then we need to engage in Kabbalah, which, just as through books we can discover this world that the ancient sages prepared for us in previous generations, through these books we can discover the spiritual world. So thanks to the book of Zohar, we can, the children of Israel can come out, the children of Israel can come out of exile. This is because at that time there was hope for redemption, as the writing of the Zohar, which began in the days of Rashbi, was during the days when Bar Kokhba appeared. Rabbi Akiva, Rashbi's teacher, said about him, "There shall step forth a star out of Jacob." Thus, after the ruin of Beitar, there was great hope. there were times like that, in other words, special times, special dates, just as we now mentioned a special date, when people thought that a special force could appear in the world that would change the world, change our nature, and through that force it will rise to a different level of perception, existence, sensation. It would rise above this world. We would certainly continue living in our bodies, but we would have a perception that is beyond the corporal body, so we would know what happens before death, before birth, after death, and the whole of reality that's hidden from our soul. It will be revealed. In other words, we can even draw it this way. This is called this world, which is sensed in our bodies. Right? And here we have the upper world sensed in our souls. Right? And here we have a point in the heart, here in the middle. Point in the heart. And if we develop it, then besides this world, we also begin to feel the spiritual world, the higher world. In this world, we have our five senses, and through our senses, we feel this bubble called this world. If we develop the point in the heart, then we develop five spherot of the soul, and in them we feel the upper world, the spiritual world. So, to develop the point in the heart, we use books of Kabbalists, which are really a method to develop the point in the heart. In our world, we are born with five senses and develop them, we add to them our understanding and sensation and mind and heart, and how to open ourselves to perceive the world better, to better understand it. We build special instruments to see further, to hear better, to transmit to distances and to hear from distances and to see things. And in the spiritual world, we have just a tiny sensation that perhaps something exists. And if we develop the point in the heart, again, through the books of Kabbalah, then we develop the five spiritual senses in addition to the corporal senses, which are called five spirits. And within them, we perceive the spiritual reality. And these five senses develop just like in our world. There's a time called Ibu, conception, and Katnut, smallness, and then Gadlut, adulthood or reception. And that's how we evolve. That's what the study of the Sefirot talks about. And it talks about how we go through these stages and develop the whole soul. Meaning, if I develop my whole soul as much as I have a potential to develop it, an ability, then I perceive the entire spiritual world. And the soul that I've developed is called Adam. Why? Because by that I attain godliness, I attain the Creator, I become similar to Him in all of my qualities, my five qualities, my five spirits. And the way to open it, the soul, is through the books of Kabbalah. So Kabbalists thought and discovered that there are special signs, special times. There's a process, as we say, that we develop through the development of our ego here in this world, until we come to a point where we suffer just from feeling ourselves in this world. We feel that it's narrow. It doesn't satisfy us. It doesn't let us feel and understand why we exist. And then we have troubles in this world where we feel a force that is pulling, pushing, and this point becomes a pulling force. It pulls us forward. And thus we begin to develop. So Kabbalists saw in our world all kinds of special periods in which it is easier to develop the soul for the whole of humanity. Not for individuals, like they were, but to the whole of humanity. And then they thought that, well, that was in the days of Bar Kokhba, and in the days of Beitar, and all kinds of periods. There was the Tzvi Shabtai, as you know, and others. Shabtai Tzvi, etc., and others. But these times are over. You can't say that these times were pointless, needless. There was a special combination of forces that created special incidents in our world that make it possible for something to happen, for the pulling force to appear. A force that pulls us to opening of the spiritual world. There's an article called Heaviness. The reason for the heaviness in the work? Yeah. I think it is here. Yes, it is in Shamati. Yeah, but it's also here. It's on page 83 in Hebrew. The reason for the heaviness in the work? It's originally article number 4 in Shamati. So he writes this. We should know that the reason for the heaviness that a person feels while wanting to annul himself, meaning to subjugate this soul world and discover, reveal his desire for the upper world, to annul himself before the Creator and not care for his own self, meaning that everything will be okay in this world as long as he discovers the spiritual world. So the problem is, what is the heaviness? That a person comes to a state as if the whole world stands still, and only he is now absent from the world and leaves his family and friends in order to be annulled before the Creator. Meaning he leaves this world and just immerses himself in attaining the upper world. Our problem is to discover the upper world because it's like a new birth. It so captures a person that he is afraid he'll be detached from this world, as if he is dead, as if he leaves this world. There's a sensation of that kind. Because we are feeling sentient beings. And if a new fulfillment captures us, then it's as if we can't be in two places simultaneously. It's as if we leave the previous state. So there's a feeling of that kind. So he says the reason is lack of faith, meaning a person doesn't see to whom he is cancelled, meaning he doesn't feel the existence of the Creator. And that's the reason for the heaviness. But when he begins to feel the existence of the Creator, meaning the spiritual world, then his soul immediately craves to be annulled and connected to the root. Meaning the Messiah is a pulling force when the spiritual world is revealed to us. And then we begin to live in another world. And that sensation certainly has to come from above, in opening of the senses from above. And that's why Kabbalists thought that this force, just as they received it by personal development, it would also come to everyone together at such times as Bar HaSulam mentions here, or at the time of Bar Kokhba and other such times. Okay, so what does it say next? Well, anyway, Rabbi Shimon wrote the Zohar and hid it, writing the Zohar and concealing it. And because of that, we're again on page 153 in Kabbalah for the Student. Writing the Zohar and concealing it. And because of that, Rashbi permitted himself and disclosed the wisdom of the hidden in his books, the Zohar and the Tikkunim. However, it was with great care, since he only permitted Rabbi Abba, who could disclose with intimation, so only the sages of the children of Israel would understand, and the sages of the nations would not understand, for fear lest the wicked would know how to serve their masters. Therefore, as soon as they saw that the time was too soon for Israel's redemption, they hid it. That was at the time of the sages, the Savoraim, because we find much that our sages, the Savoraim, wrote his matters inside the Zohar. Rabbi Akiva was Rabbi Shimon's teacher. He was at a much higher degree than him, and he was like the pillar of the Torah. And they saw that the time of redemption could come, but the time passed and it didn't happen. Rabbi Akiva believed in Bar Kokhba in the beginning. So what Rabbi Shimon could do was only to write the book of Zohar in a special way, meaning he didn't write it himself, he spoke. And Rabbi Abba wrote it. And in his writing, he hid things in such a way that the Zohar, we just read the Zohar. In fact, well, you can read it, but there is no benefit out of it because nobody understands what is written. We read it as stories, legends, morals. No one understands the meaning of the Zohar, meaning Rabbi Shimon and his students. They were 10 people, and only one of them, Rabbi Abba, wrote in such a way, in this hidden way. Why? Because he had to express the wisdom of Kabbalah to those who could break through out of this world, out of this boundary. This boundary is called Machsom, barrier, Machsom. So they could break through the barrier and begin to feel the spiritual world. And to advance in the spiritual world, they would have a book that they could use as if they're going into reading an adventure book with all kinds of new discoveries. And that's how the Zohar is written. So those who begin to develop the point in the heart to discover new things, new forces, new actions they have to do, for them, this book becomes like the whole Torah. Torah from the word instructions. It's an instruction book, how to constantly develop and move forward. And for this reason, one, the Zohar is written in a hidden way, and it can be opened only if the point in the heart has opened in a person, the six, what we call the sixth sense, or besides the five senses, every sense that opens here is generally called the sixth sense. So if a person has that sense already, the book talks to him. Then he reads and understands what it's about. He kind of guesses what it's about. He goes towards these things, does them inside with his five senses, five spirit, And then, like a baby, he begins to know the spiritual world. He tastes it. He does something. He receives some reaction. And thus, he develops himself. That's how the Zohar is written. So it's only for those whose point in the heart has opened. If it still hasn't opened, then the Zohar is closed and shut and totally abstruse. It doesn't matter if it's in front of you, you will not see it in it anything more internal than a story about birds and donkeys and people. Very strange stories, actually. And that's how it should be. Until the time when the pulling force should come, a force that develops in every person, the sixth sense. And Baal HaSulam, who wrote the Sulam commentary on the book of Zohar, wrote it and said that he's writing it because we are at the generation of the Messiah. That it is a time when we must discover this higher force. It should appear in this world, and this is why the book of Zohar should be ready for us and closer to us, and that's why he brought his Sulam commentary. Using this commentary, the book of Zohar becomes better adapted to our souls, but still we need to develop that point in the heart a little more in us, and then the book will talk to us. Until then, it's truly called the wisdom of the hidden, because what's hidden in there is for now hidden from us. Any person whose point has opened up just a little bit begins to really cling to that book. It's like something that pulls you. Like at childhood, we used to read fascinating adventure books that we couldn't put down. So that's how the book becomes enticing, fascinating. Disclosing the Kabbalah is God's will. Indeed, it was God's will that it would appear. This is why it wandered onto the widow of Rabbi Moshe de Leon. She inherited the manuscript from her husband, and he probably told her nothing of the prohibition to disclose, and she, by chance, put it up for sale. Rabbi Shimon hid the book of Zohar about 200 years after the ruin of the temple, when the book became completely concealed. Afterwards, at about 6th or 7th century, it appeared. The book of Zohar, I told you about it. If you haven't heard, I'll repeat it. It appeared. There was a Kabbalist in Israel whose wife came back from the market, brought all kinds of groceries she bought, and they were wrapped with some paper. In those days, paper was made of parchment. And he looked at the parchment and saw that in it sublime things were written. And he was a Kabbalist. If he weren't a Kabbalist, then no one would understand what's this about. So he immediately took his wife. Where did you get the paper? Where did you buy the groceries? She told him. There was an Arab selling stuff at the market. He too didn't know what he was using. So that Kabbalist, we don't know his name. Ran to that place and collected from that merchant all the papers and bought them, and ran to other places to anyone who bought the parchment. And what he collected is the book of Zohar that we know so far. And this book of Zohar moved through several generations until it came to Spain. From it, the land of Israel to Spain, to a great Kabbalist, Rabbi Moshe de Leon. He lived in Spain, and he was a Kabbalist. He was very poor. He lived very humbly. When he passed away, his wife was left penniless, and she started selling his books. That was all she had. And she also sold the book of Zohar. He didn't tell her that to not disclose it, because the book was given from one Kabbalist who found it and composed it and put it together through Rabbi Moshe de Leon, and no one knew except those who had the book. When Rabbi Moshe de Leon passed away and she sold the book to people who to scribes, and they started spreading it, and that's how the book of Zohar appeared. That's how they learned about its existence. Up until the moment when Rabbi Moshe de Leon was alive, no one even knew that it existed, and ever since then it is known that there is such a thing as the book of Zohar, that it talks about the spiritual world, that it's a hidden and abstruse book, and that's why there's so much mystery and stories around it. Of course, what's he saying afterwards? Israel's trouble are because of the disclosure of Kabbalah. Indeed, to this day, it caused many ruins. It caused many ruins in the house of Israel for the above reasons. Well, no one knew about the book of Zohar. How many people knew about it? But because it appeared, and because we still couldn't use it properly, it caused a lot of problems, confusions, troubles. First of all, the book was passed on to all kinds of philosophers who started writing all kinds of stuff about it in the Middle Ages and afterwards. And that's, as it says, caused a lot of trouble to Israel. But in any way, on the positive side and on the negative side, they're always corresponding in the world. Through the book of Zohar, the Ramak grew, the Ari, and after the Ari, all the Kabbalists. That's already the stage of the revelation, disclosure of the wisdom of Kabbalah. It started from the time of the Ari onwards. Yes. Benefit from disclosing the Kabbalah. However, there is no bad without good. And therefore, this dominion which the nations have obtained by stealing the secrets of the Torah propelled a great thrust in the development of holiness. In my assessment, we are in a generation that is standing at the very threshold of redemption, if we only know how to spread the wisdom of the hidden in the masses. In other words, if we come to a point, to a state, where we know how to open it, even if it's still, if we still don't have a point in the heart where it's going to be open, and we give a little effort of our own, like labor pains, you have to push a little to make it open. Then, as Baruch Salam says, we are at the stages of redemption, birth into spirituality. That's what it means. And then we'll discover how the book of Zohar can really help us along the way. First benefit. Apart from the simple reason of he hath swallowed down riches and he shall vomit them up again, this will reveal what is between my son and my father-in-law in the difference between the essence of the nucleus of the upper Kripa shell from which all the sages of the nations of the world peeled. This is because all the camps of Israel that have denied the Torah are sure to return to the Creator and to His work. Okay, this is a little difficult, but Rav says I have to say something about it. There is a rule in the world. In spirituality, there is no such thing as just rules appearing out of nowhere. These are rules of the world. Kabbalah teaches us the rules of the world, not just the rules we discover with our sciences, but also higher rules, which we also discover when we open the spiritual world. We discover the order of forces that act and a network of forces and how these develop and how they activate our world from above. So that's what the wisdom of Kabbalah is talking about. So there is an impact of higher forces in our world called he shall swallow down riches and shall vomit them up. Meaning the global ego receives or absorbs a spiritual force, swallows it, and then vomits it. Meaning it can't swallow it, and then it kind of repels it and gets rid of it, ejects it. And that's how we advance. And this ego is living in us. It's all of us. Where its owners will actually... it controls us. So through he shall swallow down riches and shall vomit them up, the spiritual force that should have appeared to the sages of Kabbalah appears in our world. In other words, those who develop from the machsam, from the barrier onwards. But because the Zohar appeared, it came down from the barrier down to this world. And it turns out that instead of being developed upwards, we want to swallow it down. And this is called the sages of the nations of the world, the egotistical ones, us, want to use the powers of Kabbalah, however we want to discover it, below the barrier for our own benefit, for ourselves. That's the swallowing down of riches, when our ego wants to swallow the spiritual forces for our own good. It's fortune telling, selling holy water, red bracelets of all kinds of nonsense. If it makes you calm down psychologically, okay. But it can't be a replacement for the genuine wisdom of Kabbalah that should help a person discover the higher reality. And in this way, our ego swallows spiritual force and then vomits it. It can't sustain it. And this is why we see that humanity is developing to all kinds of belief systems and religions until it vomits everything and remains with just one big question. Where is the spiritual world? And then instead of being here below the barrier, it will break through above the barrier.
And that means that he swallowed and vomited it. That the will to receive, our egoistic will to receive, cannot hold anything of spirituality. And we see, even in our times, how all these kinds of mystical methods and others, meditations and all, as how much it is all gradually disappears. This is one thing, and that causes faster evolution of the world by spiritual forces entering and revealing in this world, because all religions and faith, they are also a result from the concealment of the wisdom of Kabbalah, because if these forces were revealed, there would have been no room for religion, because religion is based on the fact that we do not know the upper force. If we would have known the Creator as it's written about the future, they will all know me from little to big, then there is no room for religion. There is room for knowledge, for attainment. And therefore, although the entire concealment, a little bit of a revelation of the wisdom of Kabbalah in such a way like the Book of Zohar, it caused different things to develop, philosophies, faith, and other things. On the other hand, it hastened humanity to develop, and therefore Baal HaSulam says that thanks to this we're already on the verge of salvation. Second benefit, there is another reason for it. We have accepted that there is a precedition for the redemption, that all the nations of the world will acknowledge Israel, though, as it is written, and the land shall be full of knowledge, as in the example of the Exodus from Egypt, where there was a precondition that Pharaoh too would acknowledge the true God and His laws and would allow them to live. Meaning that by this condition that the wisdom of Kabbalah will still be revealed to everyone, then gradually we start to reveal, and that will come in our times. You will see how in the coming years it's not just like that celebrities, all kinds of Madonnas engage with the wisdom of Kabbalah. Rather, these things will be revealed more and more because you humanity has to, through some kind of such systems, he had swallowed down riches and shall vomit in, through impure system, it reached a state that humanity will know that there is something in Kabbalah, that there is such a method that talks about the entry to the upper world, about the opening of this system, godliness system, that we will be able to feel ourselves as, not as we are living 70 years in this world, rather before and after and together with the soul eternally, by controlling this whole process that we're going through, infinite process. So that knowledge should come to the whole of the world, and therefore the revelation of the wisdom of Kabbalah in such a way as if it will burst and it is everywhere, that is a very desirable thing, that through such systems, unclean systems seemingly, but there is no other way, meaning the nations and we too, which we are outside of Kabbalah, and all the nations of the world, we all come to a state where we understand that there is the wisdom, concealed wisdom of Israel, which speaks actually about the essence of our lives. Redemption through divulging Kabbalah to the nations of the world. Therefore, this is why it is written that chief of the nations will hold a Jewish man and lead him to the Holy Land. And it was not enough that they could live by themselves. You must understand from where the nations of the world would come by such a will and idea. Know that this is through the dissemination of the true wisdom, so they will evidently see the true God and the true law, meaning each one of us and the general and the people in Israel in general, we have to help the whole world to elevate from its ego, like with this financial crisis that shows us for the first time what we're all interdependent, and that we are immersed in our great ego, which already bursts and is choking us and doesn't let us live and continue to exist, and it even threatens our existence, so that you won't have money, you won't have bread, you won't have water and anything. And this is all because the ego exploded and came from its ordinary degree, from its personal individual degree. We have reached a state where our ego is being shut down into a system where we're all close together in a small village, dependent on one another. So there's a question now, how do we come out of it? And here, there is no other exit but by the revelation of the wisdom of Kabbalah, because this general global system, nobody knows how to cope with it, and we will see it more and more, how much all these great, all these rulers of the world, G20 and others, how much they will stand like little kids and won't be able to understand how to build this new connection in this new world, which we all of a sudden are in it, and we're already in this near world. We are on the verge, we are in the opening between this world and the spiritual world. Here, in the opening, in the barrier, this is where we are, but the whole world is there. Because in fact, what is revealed? It is revealed to us that we're all interconnected, and interconnected, this is already the upper world where all the souls are connected as one soul, which is called Adam. But we are still not in, under the correction of the upper world. On the one hand, it was revealed to us this net of forces, as if we're here, as if we're connected to one another, on the one hand. But on the other hand, we are still in our ego, which belongs to the lower world, between worlds. So this is actually the crisis which we are experiencing nowadays. And it cannot be resolved by a new regulator as they want to find. They want to return, to bring us back down so that we won't be interdependent on one another. And we have no choice. We have to find the law that operates in that upper system, because we already belong to it, all of us. For decades we are there already. Baal HaSulam wrote about it 60, 70 years ago, that we are already in that system. He writes in the paper, The Nation, which he published in 1940, that actually we're already in a world where we are all as one big family. And although the Second World War occurred, but for the last decades, this is not what the sages of the Kabbalah say of, about our world, that we're a small village and that we influence one another like the butterfly effect, where everybody is influencing everybody else. These are facts we can see, and it is not for no reason that these great people, these rulers of the world, Brown, Obama, Merkel and others, they say that we have to find today a general solution how to unite and how to be in good relations, good connection between, with one another, because it is clear to them that this is where the problem is. But how to be in such a connection, this is impossible to know until the upper force is revealed, which will connect us together. So this is exactly by the principle, he who makes peace in heaven makes peace on us, on earth. And then the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealed. Therefore Baal HaSulam speaks about it here. When the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealed, this is the solution how to arrange the connection between people so that they will be able to come out of the crisis. What does it mean to come out of the crisis? To leave the ego, to transcend this ego of this world, and to transcend a little bit towards the spiritual world. And that is called the coming of the Messiah. That is called participating with the upper force, which pulls you up from below the barrier to above the barrier. And he also says that it is not enough that only Israel will do this work, because in fact, according to Matan Torah, where is it written in the Arvut and Matan Torah, that the people of Israel has to, that what makes us special, the selected people. Can you find it? It's in page 120, item 20, article Arvut Balbal Sulam. The bonding, he says, but the completion of the correction of the world will be when all people of the world will work the Creator. And I skip a little bit. However, the role of Israel towards the rest of the world is like the role of our ancestors towards the Israeli nation, etc. It is also up to the Israeli nation to qualify themselves and the world until they will be able to receive this sublime work of loving the others, which is the letter to the purpose of creation, meaning to connect together. So we have such a solution, which is the wisdom of Kabbalah, and we have to perform a correction on ourselves and then to bring it down to the rest of the world. So Baal HaSulam says, We can't do it on our own and to bring into the world this correction. Therefore, the book of Zohar and the whole wisdom of Kabbalah scattered throughout the nations of the world who acknowledge it also. And then they will come to us and push us towards the correction. As he says, he has swallowed down riches and he shall vomit them up. And here we are in a very delicate situation, as it says about the words of the Messiah and the prophets, that they can come to us in a way that it will be in a very hard demand to turn to us, that we are to blame for all the evil in the world, and to say that we are a redundant part of the world and we have nothing, and they simply have to eliminate us. And on the other hand, they can come to us differently, as it says in Yeshayahu. Can you also find it? Page 63 in Hebrew, in the end of preface to the book of Zohar, from Yeshayahu. Nations took them and brought them to their place, and they have settled in the land of the Lord, and they have brought the sons and daughters shall be carried up on their shoulders, as written in the Zohar, that by that unity they will come out of the exile through mercy, meaning they can come to us with terrible demands, because subconsciously they feel that all the evil of the world is coming from us. If we don't correct the world, then we are the reason for it not being corrected. Or the opposite, they will find out that we have the method to correct the world, and then they will come to us and will take us as they write. On their shoulders, they will carry us on their shoulders to Jerusalem. They will demand from us the opposite, to reveal that wisdom, because they understand by doing so, they will all be saved from distractions, problems, and the crisis, etc. And that is why we understand this big turn. Why is the wisdom of Kabbalah revealed and in such a concealed and revealed way, and it is here and not here, and people are talking about it and they don't know what they're talking about, and more and more and more. We'll see how it will happen in the upcoming years. But no matter what, we have to advertise it to the whole world in order to speed up the evolution, because any prevention from our part, when we prevent the humanity to reveal the reason for the crisis, what is happening to us today in a very practical, useful way. Now we have to start using the wisdom of Kabbalah in order to correct ourselves, and the same net, the same connection between us, the wrong connection, the egoistic connection between us, which is the cause of the crisis. And by doing so, to come not only to correcting the crisis, through the relation between us, we will reveal the spiritual world, eternal whole life, etc. And this is why he now starts telling us about the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah throughout the world. Dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah the world over. And the dissemination of the wisdom in the masses is called a shofar, like the shofar whose voice travels a great distance. The echo of the wisdom will spread all over the world, so even the nation will hear and acknowledge that there is godly wisdom in Israel. Meaning we have to, as much as we can, and in all languages, through all means, through all sweet wrappings, to bring the wisdom of Kabbalah somehow as close as possible to every person in the world, to everyone. As it says, and they will all know me from little to big. The salvation has to be complete, whole, for everyone. And therefore, those who have at least a little bit grip, or they understand or belong to it somehow, they have to try and do so, because they will ease up the entire evolution of the world, and for the people of Israel, this affects them fatally. meaning our entire destiny depends on the success of the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah. He also elaborates about it in the end of preface to the book Ozar on page 63 in Kabbalah for the Student. The revelation of Kabbalah to all the nation, this is the revelation of Eliyahu. And this task was said about Eliyahu the prophet, since the disclosure of the secrets of the Torah is always referred to as the disclosure of Eliyahu. Eliyahu represents the nice salvation before the Messiah. Here I'm sending you Eliyahu the prophet, etc., before the great and terrible day will come. So what is it mean, the revelation of Eliyahu? So the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah throughout the world, this is the revelation of Eliyahu. Don't think that somebody will come somehow. Rather, we are talking about the knowledge, about the acknowledgement of what spreads all over the world and grasps everyone and connects everybody together. It is as they have said, let it rest until Eliyahu comes, and also the Tishbi will answer the questions, meaning everything will be cancelled with the revelation of Kabbalah to the whole world. It will cancel all questions and all problems, because nobody will be against anyone else, because they will all see how interconnected they are in one system, not just a small village, rather how much they're connected. We're connected through souls. We are in one state. It's not that there is you and me, rather we will all feel that we belong to one body. So this is such a tight connection that there is no room for in between people. It's like a few drops of water connect to a bigger drop of water. And therefore he says that the sages always said that Eliyahu will come, etc., meaning so all the problems accumulate until such a revolution of the wisdom of Kabbalah will come to the rest of to the whole world. For this reason they said that 3 days prior to the coming of the Messiah, Eliyahu would walk upon the hilltops and will blow in a great horn. This is in such a pretty way, they tell us about it. This is the 3 days that 1 degree stop before the coming of the next degree, the Rosh Toch Sof, in degrees, meaning over the cities, meaning over all the complications. Eliyahu will come and will fill them and will arrange them with such a knowledge that all in all the evil that was revealed and all the problems which were revealed thus far, they were intended for us to know that by the revelation of the Creator, by the wisdom of Kabbalah to the creatures, and by doing so, the entire humanity will come to the spiritual degree. Disclosing Kabbalah to all the nations is a precondition for the complete redemption. You must understand these intimidations. The issue of the shofar is only the disclosure of the wisdom of the hidden in great masses, which is a necessary precondition that must be met prior to the complete redemption. And the books that have already been revealed through me in this wisdom will testify to it that matters of the greatest importance have been spread out like a gown for all to see. This is a true testimony that we are already at the threshold of redemption, and that the voice of the great shofar has already been heard through, not in the distance, for it is still sounds for Sofitim. But indeed, any greatness requires prior smallness, and there is no great voice if it is not preceded by a soft sound. For this is the way of the shofar that is progressively grows, and who better than I knows that I am not at all worthy of being even a messenger and a scribe for disclosing such secrets, and much less to thoroughly understand them. And why has the Creator done so to me? It is only because the generation is worthy of it, as it is
the last generation which stands at the threshold of complete redemption. And for this reason, it is worthy of beginning to hear the voice of Messiah's shofar, which is the revealing of the secrets, as he has been explained. I have nothing I can add to it, although we are still in the beginning of this revelation, which is revealed to us how incapable of we are of connecting together. But people are beginning to recognize that the lack of unity is the cause for all evil. And the next phase, advertising the wisdom of Kabbalah to such a degree that they will understand that their lays are entire success through the proper connection between us. And by this, the world can be saved from the worst things possible. Until we won't understand that, on the one hand, the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah, on the other hand, the increasing crisis, we will be beating like the 10 blows, plagues of Egypt. Perhaps we will have a few recessions, but again, we will have another blow and another blow until we won't understand that there is no choice. We have to run away. We have to transcend the ego, to run away from Pharaoh. And then the same Moses, the same Messiah, the same pulling force, it is it that will give us this leap, this jump over the barrier. Any questions?
No.
Good evening. Please speak to the mic. Ever since the Ari, since the Kabbalah was disseminated, at least to us, to Jews, 400 or 500 years passed. Whether I want to know if there's two or three remaining years will be enough to acknowledge it, and we didn't reach even 1% of humanity. That's a true question. If we see our world that it develops in a linear way, but it develops in an exponential way, the 20th century we have came to evolution which we didn't come to during 10,000 years. Each and every passing day of today is like 10 years or 100 years of yesterday. And therefore, we do not know, we do not feel how much the world is fasting. We cannot understand it. There is the development of the world, and there is how much I move and recognize that development, move along with it. Perhaps they're running, but I somehow am left on the side observing things from the side. So this is what is happening to us. This is one thing. Another thing, spiritual matters, they evolve in an accumulative way. Meaning it accumulates and accumulates and accumulates within, through the spheres, sphirot, from Malchut to Yesod to Yehod, etc., 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 until it reaches Keter, boom, a new degree. And again and again and again. Therefore, look, now we're also talking about the evolution of the world as like those economists are talking. They want to bring again a new method to an old method to a new world. So are you looking at today in the scale of yesterday? But this is a completely different rhythm. This is a completely different force. We don't understand that we have cross the barrier only not by our vessels of reception. We are already in the spiritual world because we are close together. Before, we weren't in one system. Our ego, in the generality of the world, went through
this entire lower bubble, and we have transcended and entered the upper bubble, to the spiritual bubble. Only we have to correct the connection between us, and then we will feel that we're already there, and then we will start transcending more and more and more, until we will feel this entire spiritual space. So, we are in a new place already, in a new world. And even people who don't understand what they're saying are talking about it. Politicians, philosophers, different people are saying the world is a new world. They feel it. They feel that there is some new systematic, some new law. Something has changed. You cannot access the world with the old vessels. So in this new world, we cannot think 5,000 years have passed, so we have to wait 50,000 years more. It doesn't work like this. But precisely because this is a very fast rhythm, we have to at least try and go along with it in the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Because what we won't do in a positive way, it will come back to us in a negative way. Negatively. And this is extremely dangerous. The prophets write such things that God forbid. Can I ask something else? Please speak to the mic. The nations of the world will have to learn all the sefirot and everything like we, or is the connection enough? So here there is and there is. You're asking if everybody has to know or not. It says everybody will know me from little to big. So let us take an example. It will be easier for me to explain like this. In our world, we have people who develop computers, phones, they see stars, know everything that happens above and below as much as they can. And there are such people like me who can hardly press the buttons on his mobile. And my grandson, he knows better than me how to work with the computer, etc. So they are the users, but they're still in the world, and there are those who understand more deeply. So everybody operates according to the root of his soul. Like in our world, everybody sees how much is associated with the whole world and all the inventions and its depth. It is the same in the spiritual world. Therefore, everybody will know, like everybody is living in this world, but as much as each and everyone, according to his own vessel, will be developed and will be drawn and swallow the spiritual world, it is like in this world. Let's say, I'm not calm down until I don't disassemble and put everything back together. I cannot relax until I do that. And there are other people, and everybody, there are people from different fields, so there is no coercion, there is nothing to it, because everybody will come to his state of balance. Good evening. About the previous question, as if there is emphasis about the chronological thing, speaking about years, you want to go back to the reason why we read this article? Why not? Perhaps in 2 weeks we will... No, my question is, if we are talking about years or changes, shanim or shinuim, this is the same in Hebrew, changes, but why we're doing, not to stick to the chronological of when they will happen, rather the changes which will prepare the vessel that will bring us to the coming of the Messiah. This is my question. So are we talking about chronological, the order of things? You're right. In our world, the order is a chronological order, meaning according to the spins of the earth and the sun and the earth. And in the spiritual world, Shana, year, comes from the word change, Shinui. Therefore, it says Israel sanctified at times, meaning they hasten, they shorten times. Israel are called those who are drawn to God. So for them, time becomes shorter. According to the natural course of time, according to the chronological time, we have to reach the final correction to the whole redemption in the end of the 6,000 years, in 243 years from now. If, according to the phase which we now see, and according to our ability today, where the wisdom of Kabbalah is already revealed, the Bala Sulam says that we are on the verge of redemption, etc., we can do it much sooner, perhaps in our days. More, please. If you don't want to ask, okay, excuse me, I forgot all about you, please. Please pass him the mic. In the end of the article, he promises us all the best. The end is good, but to reach the end, we have two ways, as he explains, in the free choice, freedom of choice, the path of Torah, the path of suffering, in the whole nature of time, or by hastening time. We came out of Egypt. Who? We, the people of Israel. You're talking about what happened in corporality once upon a time. They enter unity. They have received the light, the Torah. They came to the land of Israel, built the temple in pretty high spirituality. And they worked in spirituality in corporality as a replica. They fell to a distraction in order to be incorporated with the nations of the world, and then they returned and rebuilt the temple and again lived in spirituality and in corporality as a replica. And again there was the destruction of the second temple, where spirituality has departed and only corporality was left. So why did they come out to the destruction? For the incorporation of Bina and Malchut. Please, I want to hear a question. My question is that exile we've been to, and when we have intermingled with the nations, why doesn't it do this work? But he told you that it does the work. This is Chel Bala VeYakiena. He has swallowed down riches and he shall vomit them up. The 10 tribes from the times of the first temple and all the rest from the times of the second temple have intermingled with the nations, and we have done this work which you don't see, but you don't understand what intermingling means. This is an internally and externally intermingling in culture, in science, in everything, and we have caused a lot by doing so. Therefore, already now we are on the verge of salvation. So it's wrong what you're saying. But you see that the problems are increasing. I see it as a call, as signs of the Messiah, as call of time, as birth pain, labor pains. So should we bless on it or not? Depends on how you use it. If I reveal my illness, then I thank God that I now know what I have to do, and I'm running to the doctor and ask for medicine. And if you don't want to go to the doctor after revealing the illness, then you swear him. But you felt bad even before. So for the revelation of the crisis is a revelation of evil. So it turns out that it is a revelation. So we are in the generation of the Messiah, but we are sick. Yes, of course. Not only according to what I say. Everybody is saying that we are in the increasing ego, want to eat each other up, and this is the cause for all the problems in the world. But I thought that the generation of the Messiah should feel good, and here it is quite opposite. And he is standing before an ascent, and before he truly needs to feel that he needs that ascent. So we will come to it. This is the revelation that we're now going through, to reveal what is the cause for all evil that we have. So what are we missing? We are missing the recognition of evil, meaning that you will feel that you're egoist. And please pass on the mic. He has a certain amount of questions that he has to have every program. In the beginning you said that Adam HaRishon, when he revealed the Creator, Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, and Passover connected together, something like that. I wrote about it in my blog, you can see there. And you also said that the eve of the coming Passover, it will happen for the third time. The second time happened in the Exodus from Egypt. The first time was in the creation of the world. The second time was in the Exodus from Egypt. And the third time will be this time, this year, on the eve of Passover. And since things don't happen just like this, I want to know what is the reason. Okay, let us wait. We will have a few good days before Pesach and we will be in a good mood. Please. Please stand up so the camera can catch you. You said earlier that we have crossed the barrier. We have crossed the barrier. Not we have crossed the barrier. Rather, we were crossed the barrier through the connection between us, because the connection between us, which is now revealed, this is already a system which is above the barrier. Only now we are in the system above the barrier, we the corrupted ones, but we are still not in our knowledge, in our consciousness there. And therefore, we feel the crisis because we are in a system that binds us together, all of us, connects us together, but we all want to eat each other up. This is not the increasing ego? Yes, it is the increasing ego on the one hand. On the other hand, it is the connection between us. It is hard for me to understand. I don't understand. Imagine a family where everybody is fighting and they live in one small apartment and they can't get out of it. So they're connected to one another. They hate one another. So what do you do about it? Fight until they kill one another, God forbid. So this is what humanity has, either to kill one another or to find, to make home peace, peace at home. So to make peace at home, this is exactly the wisdom of Kabbalah. And it tells us how to do so. And other than that, it explains that not only that you will find peace at home and you will have good corporal beastly life, other than that, through this good proper connection, through the peace at home, all of a sudden you will reveal eternal life in addition to the good life that you will have in this world, in your body. You will also feel life beyond your body, before and after life. You will feel eternal flow of life. But we are in the world of Ein Sof anyway, even before. Who told you that? This is what it is written so. But do you feel it? No, I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about the feeling of people before us who are purer than us. You said that only now we have crossed the barrier. I'm not talking about the special Kabbalists, about special souls who are here in the upper world. Rashbi, Rabbi Akiva, Bala Sulam, Ari. All these Kabbalists throughout all generations, Moshe, Abraham, the four fathers, of course they do. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us. We are in the egoistic net, and the entire net is rising, and it is as if it is already in the upper level, and according to our ego, we are still in the lower level, and the gap between the 2 degrees gives us the sensation of the crisis. Therefore, we cannot get along with the old vessels in the new world, in the new situation. And therefore, everything depends on how much we will disseminate this knowledge to the rest of the world, that there is a method of how to connect. And if we will understand that method soon enough, we will all succeed very quickly. But no matter what, we should wait till the eve of Passover. Oh, there's a poor guy there back in the end. Please raise your hand. Good evening. I wanted to ask about the remaining years, as you said, till the completion of the 6,000 years, the 243 years that are left for us to reveal and understand what the wisdom of Kabbalah is, what it wants to give us. The Kabbalists, and in general, Judaism, even before, for thousands of years now, It is studying the wisdom of Kabbalah. They too understood how important it is to share with the rest of the world, with the rest of the nations. No, it was forbidden. Up to our times, it was forbidden. Therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah wasn't revealed. What did we just read? That on the one hand, it was as something undesirable thing. It was revealed by accident, by chance. This is what we've just read in the article. I don't want to explain exactly what was the mistake and why did it have to come through such a corruption. But in fact, only from the time of the Ari and onward, the wisdom of Kabbalah was allowed to be revealed. And we can read about it in the writings of the Ari, that from his time onward, the Ari is called the Messiah, son of Joseph, before the Messiah, son of David will come. This is the Messiah that reveals a method. And from our times and onward, we only begin to advertise the method. But in fact, already from the times of the Ari, they started to learn the wisdom of Kabbalah after the Ari. Baal Shem Tov started to disseminate it, etc. But we are talking about a few hundred years nonetheless. So what prevented humanity and the people of Israel to do it in a more advanced way than what we are experiencing now? Was it our personal development of ours and of humanity? The ego didn't grow. When we came to the 20th century and started entering despair, drugs, abuse, to problems, ecological problems, and all these things, our ego grew. When it went through from a personal, individual way in everyone, you're egoist, I'm egoist, everybody's egoist, and everybody kept to himself, that was fine. Then we were engaging with trade, industry, different things according to the egoistic law. All of a sudden, our ego grew in such a way, and it's not all of a sudden, it's for a few decades now, that we were interconnected. It brought us in the imagine 7 billion egoistics who grew and grew and grew, and all of a sudden we entered into such a connection like a lock which closed us all together, some kind of net closed us together, and we cannot run away from it. This is what happened. Therefore, during that time, you have to advertise the wisdom of Kabbalah, because it exists only for that purpose, and only now there is a true need for it. Even a few hundred years ago, there were problems in the world. Humanity was beaten. It always was. It always happened. There was kind of a prohibition which was perhaps unjust to humanity to expose it. Perhaps it would have corrected the world then. No. Kabbalists didn't allow it to happen. Everything they said about the wisdom of Kabbalah, that you mustn't learn till the age of 40, you have to be married, no shas and postik. This rumor was made by Kabbalists themselves. They didn't want people to engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah before the time was right. It is written about it. So everything happens in its own time. So let's do from now onward what is up to us. Then we will be rewarded to a good, happy end. Of course, it will be a good ending, but now, for the next few years, we have to try and disseminate it and also learn by ourselves. Yes, you are front. Good evening. Many times you were talking about the differences. You have presented that there is a significant difference between meditation to intentions. In many cases you were talking about intentions, you explained what intentions are, but practically, since you also come from a world of philosophy, can you let us understand the difference between meditation and intentions? Meditation is psychology. That now through my mental forces, I aim myself to a certain thought or to a certain preferable situation, and I hold myself there. And everybody can do it. Intentions, it means that I'm studying from the wisdom of Kabbalah. What it means, the bestowing force, the love force, the creator's force, which I learn, when I learn it, I begin to realize it in a group, not alone, not in my imagination. And then I receive from the book and from using the group according to the instructions they give us, what it means to be the bestower, what it means to be like the creator who bestows, who's good, that does good. And then, according to my effort to adjust myself to him, I keep advancing. So this effort of mine to build that quality in front of me, and I want to get into it. I want it to control me, that quality called bestow and love. That is called the intention, kavana. In the practical level, yes, in a practical internal level. In corporality, here and now, yes. But under the condition that you take the definitions from the, a true book of Kabbalah, authentical book of Kabbalah, which is written by a Kabbalist and not by somebody else. This is the first thing. And when you scrutinize, when you realize the things which are reading towards the proper environment, towards the proper group. Everything should be done according to instructions. But everything is being done in the corporal world. I'm doing it knowingly. This is where we start making intentions. Of course, ordinary people are starting doing it. And this is also a part of our prayers. If you can put intentions inside the prayers, yes. If no, no. You can make intentions everywhere, anytime. Doesn't matter where you are physically or what you are doing in a certain given time. Is if you imagine yourself the same spiritual situation to which you crave for.
Okay, tada.
Thanks.
Ken.
Yes.
Me'achora.
You on the back. About the meditation. Can we say that meditation is a shortcut to form a screen? What do we try to do in meditation? To stop our thoughts. I said that this is a psychological exercise, of course, but is it some corporal attempt to create a screen? I don't know what a screen is. So you want to hold on to a certain thought and to dwell in it. So this is meditation. But what does it have to do with intentions that we are talking about in the wisdom of Kabbalah? Here, this is exactly where you have to locate what it means to resemble the Creator, because we keep craving to become a man. Adam, which resembles the Creator. So how to picture him, not him, the quality of the soul and love of the others, and then to keep advancing towards that image. So that image has to be what is a more corrected me. And I have to locate it, to picture it, to build it in front of me in such a way, and to come closer to him. But still, this is a certain kind of a degree of delight and mercy. Everything is on the way of intentions. There's delight in mercy, and then there's bestow in order to bestow, and then to receive in order to bestow. But now we have to end. Next week we will have a special lecture by Rav Lapp about Passover, and we will be delighted to have you. Thanks you for all the viewers. And see you next week.